Good morning, good Monday morning to you, everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Coffee with the Coder. We are delighted to share this with you, and we've got some amazing questions. Can't wait to get into them. Hey, Paula.
Good morning. How are you? For the third time.
For the third time, yes, yes. So I didn't want to know if you want to say anything before I jump right into this question that I'm eager to share with you.
The only thing I want to say is for those of you who didn't dial in early, you missed a bunch of cool offers and specials and opportunities. So be sure next time to dial in early and become an insider.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here today, and let's jump right in. This first question is from an inpatient rehab. It's from Taylor. And she says, we're going through all of our cases for the year and making sure none of them were submitted with two diagnoses. And I was wondering if the diagnosis they came with is described in more than one, if the diagnosis they came in with is described in more than one code, is it okay for both of them to be there? Because I found several where, another one here in this case, where there were several fractured bones in the foot and they were all listed, and I'm not really sure if that's okay or not. I have one right now that's bilateral pubic rami fracture, but it looks like there's only one code for right and left, so they're both listed as diagnosis.
Yeah, and it's pubic rami fracture, but that's cool.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. And so great question. And Taylor, we know Taylor, we go back with Taylor. There you go. Taylor has asked some other questions. And so this was a question that we hear from a lot of PPS coordinators when we're in there either auditing their charts or we're talking to them about, you know, how educating them on how to, you know, what codes that you can take from your coder as the etiologic. Because in some situations, the PPS coordinator has to pick the etiologic diagnosis out of the list that is given to the coder. And in other situations, which is a better situation, I think, is the coder identifies the etiologic for the PPS or CMG coordinator because that person doesn't always have any coding knowledge. So that said, my question back to her was, I know that we were talking about the etiologic, so I just questioned that back. Now, if multiple diagnoses are the reason for admission, it is absolutely okay to report them as the etiologic. So you can look at it this way. If you can't really describe the full reason for admission as, let's take the examples of the foot fractures, you have multiple foot fractures, and you can't really describe the reason for admission as one of those bones fractured because each diagnosis code is for a different bone unless they're reporting multiples and we're wanting to report each one. So they would report them all or up to three to show that there were multiple bones in the foot, and that clearly describes the reason for admission. On the other hand, as you mentioned, Taylor, there are situations, and this is where the helping and talking with the coder really helps because the coder understands the coding rules as to when multiple diagnoses are required to report a single condition. Sepsis is a huge one, and I know that sometimes we admit patients into rehab due to the debility that's caused them after they, you know, had sepsis or septic shock. And so that's, in those situations, sepsis always requires two and sometimes three and even more diagnoses, depending on if there's organ function organ failure. And if it, you know, exists or not. So absolutely, even one IGC, you only have one impairment group. So for those of you in the IRF, but you can have as many as two or three etiologic diagnoses based on, you know, painting the picture for supporting that IGC.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, I've got another one from an inpatient rehab. This one's coming from Sue. And she says, I have two questions pertaining to an inpatient rehab hospital for IRF PI coding. The first one is, we have a couple of physicians that always document mobility deficit on every HMP. We have some coders that choose to code this to R26.9, unspecified abnormalities of gait and mobility. The term mobility deficit is not available in the book. Should we be assuming the physician means gait deficit? And the second question is, if the physician documents elevated blood sugar or the like for a diabetic patient, The lab values proved the hyperglycemia, and we're treating the condition with insulin sliding scale coverage. Is this enough to code for the hyperglycemia, or does this sort of physician documentation still need a query? Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for your question, Sue. And so this question is from an IRF, but it actually can, you know, kind of go across the board for a coding question. Really, so first of all, the first part of your question is, you know, can we report the R26.9 unspecified abnormalities of the gait and mobility when the doctor documents mobility deficit? So here's, go back to the ICD-10 guidelines. That's where we started looking to see, because that came to my mind immediately when we looked at this question. The guidelines state that when you are reading the word and in a code title, it actually means or should be interpreted as and or. And the code, R26.9, states abnormality of gait and mobility. So you could read that as abnormality of gait or abnormality of mobility. So either way. But so in that case, you could report or you would report R26.9 for abnormality of mobility. Now, here's another rule that goes into place, though, and this happens all the time in inpatient rehab facilities. I know it happens on the acute side, too, but it's just really prevalent on the inpatient rehab facility side because your rehab doctor is always stating their rehab diagnosis. And the rehab diagnosis is very often, I won't say 100% of the time because, you know, I'm a coder and I don't like saying all or never, but very often the rehab diagnosis is a symptom, and I would actually say most often, is a symptom of a definitive diagnosis that was already also documented or that is documented in the body of the report or in the body of the record. So there is a coding rule that says you do not report the symptom of a definitive diagnosis. So, for example, if the patient had, you know, was admitted for a hip fracture and the doctor said mobility, you know, dysfunction or gait dysfunction, it really doesn't make sense because that gait dysfunction is a symptom of the hip fracture. The same thing for a patient with a stroke with paresis. You wouldn't need to put that gait dysfunction or code it because it is a symptom of another diagnosis. It's very obvious that was already documented. So that's two coding rules at play there. Okay. Now, it would be appropriate in those situations to report, of course, the fracture or the stroke with the residual rather than the gait dysfunction. Now, the second part of the question is, you know, if the physician documents that elevated blood sugar, and I believe you said, Pam, that the labs supported the elevated glucose,
yes,
and the treatment was consistent, the patient was on a sliding scale. Well, in our research proved that, yes, that is enough to support coding the diabetes with hyperglycemia. So here's something I want to you to take a note of, because when we're doing research, this is the type of thing we do. The term elevated blood sugar, of course, in our case was going to be reported as if the doctor doesn't state the type of diabetes or he states type 2, he or she states type 2, it's going to be E1165, which is type 2 diabetes with hyperglycemia, and that's the default. E11 is the default if he doesn't say the type. If a different type of diabetes, such as type 1, you're going to be E1065.65, and then other options would be E08 or E09 or E13, but they all end with 0.65 if the patient does have hyperglycemia. Now, here's the trail I wanted to take you down. If you were to go to the diagnosis code book, and if you are a coder, of course you have those. If you're not, you can look at them on the CDC's, or you can download them from the CDC's website. Very easy to maneuver in the PDF. You go to the alphabetic index and you look up abnormal glucose. It's going to send you to code R73.0. Now, when you get to R73.0, it has an excludes one note for diabetes. And then I'm going to go, okay, well, if I'm not a coder, how do I know what that excludes one note means? I'm going to go to the guidelines, and that's also in that download copy that you can get from the CDC. and excludes one. I'll read to you exactly what it says. It says, it is used when two conditions cannot occur together. Now, there are some caveats to that, but in this situation, the elevated glucose would be associated with the diabetes, and you would report them together because of that excludes one note. You wouldn't report diabetes and then secondary, separately report the elevated glucose because of the rule that's telling us we would report both. Now, if the evidence did not support, you know, labs function, you know, lab tests showing high levels, or maybe the treatment didn't support it, there was not enough evidence to prove that, you know, what the doctor was saying, then that would be a situation for a query in that case.
Thank you. We're at 10 minutes. Can I keep going?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go to the next question.
Okay, so Sherry has a question. Sherry works in an inpatient rehab. She says, we had a case that was admitted with the IGC of 5.4 and the etiologic of E11.52. The patient completed rehab and was discharged August 24th to a SNF, skilled nursing facility. Patient came back to the hospital on the 19th of September with a diagnosis of wound dehiscence and had a left BKA revision and a debridement of the right toe amputation. Hospital coder has coded the same etiologic for this admit as E1152. We're questioning whether it should be T87.9 instead. Also thinking this case would be coded as one initial rehab for field 14 on the IRFPI and not a 3 readmission since he had completed his original stay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna reread that question, Pam. I'm not sure if other people didn't hear you as well, but you went out on my end, so I'm just gonna go ahead and read it. So basically, Sherry is asking, the patient was admitted with an impairment group of 5.4 and an etiologic diagnosis of E11.52. Patient completed the rehab and was discharged in August to a SNF. And then the patient, well, it's actually August 24th, so the date is like a month apart, readmitted or came back to the hospital, I should say, not readmitted, on September 19th with a diagnosis of wound dehiscence and had a left BKA revision and a debridement of the right toe amputation. So the hospital coder had coded the same etiologic, the E1152, and they were questioning whether it should be the T87.9, which is, so the E1152 is the diabetes with a manifestation, and the T87.9 is the, I just went blank, my amputation stump dehiscence. So in this case, I really, really, really would like to see the physician documentation in this case in order to really, you know, stand firm on what I'm going to tell you. Because it matters how he or she documents. Even though the evidence to me looks like it's one way, I really want to see what the doctor said. I think, you know, basically you're stating that the patient had a BKA, they discharged, came back a month later, and then, you know, with wound dehiscence, and then they had the revision, basically, of the BKA, and also a revision a debridement of the right toe amputation. So that meant they had the toe amputation earlier as well. So that's probably two different legs, guys, that she's not saying they had the right toe on the same foot as the BKA, right? Makes sense. So basically, it does appear, based on what I'm seeing, that the reason for the encounter would be a T code, but it wouldn't be T87.9. T87.9 is sort of an unspecified, whereas T87.81 is dehiscence of amputation stump. So it's very clear to why the patient came back. But again, we'd like to know a little bit more from the physician about what he's stating in the record, he or she, because that can be confusing. He probably or could have painted the picture to look more like, you know, it was the diabetes with the manifestation rather than the dehiscence, because maybe there was something with the toe that, you know, it's crazy the way we have to read records that we really, really want them to be clear. And if they're not clear, that's when we have to go to query. But it looks like, and if you read the record and you see that clearly, I would go with T87.81, which is the amputation, dehiscence of the amputation stump. So there you go, Pam.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to take too much time, so I probably need to move your The last one on my list, I probably need to move that to episode 50.
Yeah. We just had an extra in case you needed one.
Okay. So I will. If you're that person, and I told you that if we had time, then we're going to do it next time. Now we're going to see who gets mugged today. all of them were non-anonymous, so everybody's in the drawing. And drum roll, please. Sue is the winner. Yay, Sue, I'm going to reach out to you and find out where to send this to you. Thank you for participating, everyone, in episode 49, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode in 2 weeks.